Good morning and happy Sabbath. Good to see you all here this morning. Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas. It is a high Sabbath today because, of course, it is Christmas. And furthermore, we will be celebrating another baptism. And we'll introduce Samantha, or she'll introduce herself to you shortly. But I just want to take a reading from the book of John, the Gospel of John. And it's in John chapter 3. And as you know from a sermon a few months ago, John chapter 3 is a story of Nicodemus and his conversation with Jesus, and Jesus telling him about the importance of rebirth if we indeed want to enter and see the kingdom of God. But I just want to take a reading this morning from John 3 and verse 14 and 15 all the way through to 17. This is what Jesus is saying. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you remember the story that Jesus is referring to here in John chapter 3, he's referring to an incident, an occurrence, and you can find that occurrence in Numbers 21. And so what's happening there is because the people of God in Numbers 21 are complaining so much against Moses and against their leader and against God, God sends serpents into the camp, and whoever is bitten by a serpent just dies. We did a Bible study on this week. And so they call out to Moses and they call out to God and ask for help. They ask for saving. And the direction from God to Moses is for Moses to make a bronze serpent and put that bronze serpent up on a pole. And so it is that whenever anyone is bitten by a serpent, all they have to do is look at this serpent on a pole and they will live. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that story is talking about me. You see, we as human beings, we're all bitten by sin. God loves the world so much that he gave his Son. That's the reason why he came. And whoever looks to Jesus, as he's saying to Nicodemus, whoever looks to Jesus will live. And this morning we celebrate. We celebrate the incarnation. We celebrate the fact that God himself became a vulnerable baby, was brought up and was surrounded with brokenness and the vulnerability of humanity. But we celebrate also this morning the fact that Samantha is choosing to look to Jesus. And by looking to Jesus, she is saying, hey, here I am. I want to be saved. John chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13 say this: as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this morning, as Samantha enters into the waters of baptism, as she goes down into the watery grave and comes up as a new creation, she has chosen that her new creation community is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and in particular, the St. Andrew's Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so I'm just going to invite Samantha up. She's going to share a little bit about herself and a little bit about the reason why she's wanting to be baptized this morning. And then we'll have her baptismal vows and have her baptism.
Not quite that tall. All right. G'day. I'm Samantha Wheatley. I'm the youngest of six kids. My mum left me when I was really young with her boyfriend, and dad became my rock, my mentor, my only parent. Unfortunately, he can't be here to witness this extra special day as he's in hospital and unwell. But I know he's with me in spirit and he's extremely happy for me. My favourite hams are How Great They Are, as it was the first hymn I sung at the Caboolture Church, starting on my journey to the Lord. Every time I hear it, it brings me back to that moment. The other one is Why Me, Lord, by Chris Christopherson. It talks about how Jesus loves us so much, even though we seem to have done something wrong, or we don't seem to deserve it in our own eyes, but we do. My favourite script is John 3:16, which talks about the beginning of creation and what God has done for us. My connection to the Seventh-day Churches was when I met a lovely lady by the name of Delvine Trace at the Caboolture Seventh-day Adventist Church, when she handed me a craft flyer on our first meeting, telling me she had met my dad a few years ago and wanted me to join the craft group, which I did, then asking me to join her and Dulcie Parker to the church, for which I'm really grateful for, and that I made the choice of doing it. The people were so friendly. Unfortunately, we left and came up here for a change. Now, why I want to be baptized? Well, because I believe I'm ready to be with the Lord and be one with him. I've waited and said, it's time, I've done it. And what better day to do it than on Christmas Day? Thank you. Towels over there.
A couple of weeks ago, I was contacted via our church website by Samantha, and I replied and said, hey, thanks for getting in touch. How can we help? And she said, you need to baptize me. And I thought, well, cool. All right, let's meet and we'll discuss. And over the past 2 weeks, as we've met, I've known Samantha to be very eager. She catches the bus in from Moore Park Beach just for Bible studies. She'll come early in the morning and she'll wait for me at the church. She'll wait for me to get here just so that we can have some more Bible studies. And she has done pretty much every online Bible study that our church has. And so she's ready to give Bible studies as well. Yeah. And so it's an honor for me to just read your baptismal vows and your baptismal commitment with you this morning, Samantha. Samantha, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And do you desire to live your life in a saving relationship with him?
Yes. Amen.
Do you accept the teachings of the Bible as expressed in the statement of fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And do you pledge by God's grace to live your life in harmony with these teachings?
Yes.
And do you desire today to be baptized as a public expression of your belief in Jesus Christ, to be accepted into the fellowship of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to support the church and its mission as a faithful steward by your personal influence, your tithes and offerings, and our lives of service?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Church, do we say amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go and be baptized. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the decision that Samantha has made to publicly declare her faith in you, her love for you, and her commitment, Lord, to live her life for you. Please bless her. Lord, the gifts and talents and skills that she has, Lord, I pray that you will use her in a powerful way, and that as she gives herself to service in your name, that many more people will come to believe in you because of her. Bless her now. We know that all of heaven is rejoicing at her decision today. Bless also those who are watching from hospital beds and from a distance, Lord. We ask that you will help us to know your love today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nice. That was pretty cool, that song, especially with all the that little picture thing at the end. Yeah, and congratulations. Oh, the name escaped me now, but the baptism today, it was really great to see. I had it just before when I was coming up, but yeah. So, Amanda. Samantha, there we go, that's it. My apologies for forgetting the name, but that happens a lot. But yeah, congratulations. Well, I'm going to get right into it. So, there is the greatest story ever told, and that is of love. And would you believe it? This story starts with a tree and ends with a tree. In many stories from the Bible, a tree holds significant value. Or there's like trees in every story in the Bible, most, I should say. Whether they are for good or like more for like evil, something bad happens that involves a tree. See, the first story of a tree we get is one that holds a forbidden fruit. That's found in Genesis 3. Another tree holding a sacrificial ram to save an innocent boy. Another tree held the power of God, burning bright, yet not being consumed. A tree that caused the death of King David's son. One story finds a whole forest of trees taking more lives than that of the sword. There are many more stories where it's about trees or a tree. And something cool I found, there's 289 instances in the Bible where tree shows up, and trees, the plural, is 216. These trees play a part in a lot of stories from the Bible. However, the greatest story begins with a tree and ends with a tree, and this story is that of Jesus. We celebrate Christmas as a symbol of Christ's birth. We even have a tree at church to represent Christmas. And as the wise men did, they gave gifts to Jesus, so we placed gifts under the tree to remind us of that. Also, we have an angel or a star on top of the tree for the angel that came to the shepherds to signify Christ's birth. And while on that night was born, there was no tree. We have come to understand that the tree represents what took place when Jesus was born. The miracle of Jesus' birth has stayed with many people throughout the ages. We learn from it through the Bible, through different events. Some only come to church because of the Christmas time. And some learn things through what we see in Christmas. A lot of carols praise Jesus and his birth. I'm going to read now from Matthew 1:18-25 and Luke 2:1-7 to see what the birth of Christ was like. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to keep her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Jesus being raised up from then Joseph being raised up from sleep did as the angel of the Lord bid him to do, and take unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Caesarus was governor of Assyria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea unto the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse, and being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days and accomplished that she should have been delivered, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. One thing I would like to point out is Jesus, the Son and Lamb of God, was wrapped in swaddling cloth, as would of every firstborn male lamb was considered holy and was set aside for sacrifice in Jerusalem. And they would be laid in a manger to keep them contained while they were being examined for blemishes. Jesus' birth was that of preparing him for the sacrifice he came to earth for. Now the story of the shepherds in the hills of Bethlehem found in Luke 2:8-20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be your sign unto you. You shall find him a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with multiple of the heaven's host, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace to earth, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which came to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came, made haste, and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had known abroad the saying which told them concerning this child. And they all went, or when they all heard it, wondering at these things which were told by them, the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. See, the last point I made about the lambs being swaddled, just like Jesus was, the shepherds would have known this well. And when they examined with their eyes and saw the baby boy Jesus, with no blemishes, they had absolutely no doubt that this is the Son of God, as the angel had said, which now some put on top of their Christmas tree to remind them the angel spread God's message of his son that he would save the world. Now, the story of the wise man is found in Matthew 2:1-12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there were wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come the governor that shall rule my people's land. Then Herod, when he had previously called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star arrived. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, search for the child, And when you have found him, bring word to me again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed and lowered the star, which they saw in the east, went to stand before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they did not return to Herod. They departed to their own country another way. The examination was not complete yet. The shepherds who knew the lamb should be seen, who had been seen now, the wise man, normally a priest would examine the lamb in this for the sacrifice. Priest didn't. But I'll share a quote from Desire of Ages, chapter 2, as this shows God's plan for Jesus' birth. They, the wise men, have reached the land of Israel and are descending on the Mount of Olives and with Jerusalem in sight, when lo, the star was guided all the way to rest above the temple. And after the seasons fade from view, with eager steps they press onward, confidently expecting the Messiah's birth to be a joyful burden on every tongue. But their inquiries are in vain. Entering the holy city, they repair to the temple. That, to their amazement, they found none who had seemed to have knowledge of the newborn king. Their questions called forth no expression of joy, but rather of surprise and fear, not unmingled with contempt. See, God sent the star to Jerusalem first. He gave the priests a chance to come and examine the baby Jesus, to see if he had any blemish, to witness the newborn king. But none had knowledge of the newborn king. No one was looking or ready for the Messiah, but still the wise men pressed on, even though the land which the king would come, they didn't know. It would have been easy for the wise men to go, oh, the priests don't even know about the king. We might have been mistaken and turn around. But no, they pressed on to examine the king themselves to give tribute to him. There is a story I would like to share. You could understand the meaning behind the story. You could understand the meaning behind the story, but I want to share two sides of that story. It's from John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John both called to the cross that he would take away the sins of the world, but also called back to his birth as a lamb who was wrapped in swaddling cloth and waited in the manger to be examined. And I think because time, we know the verses of the cross and how Jesus went up there to be beaten and came to the cross to die for us. Jesus was lifted up to see, for all to see, up onto the tree to display that even though he had the power to come off the cross to show all those around him that he was Christ, he didn't. But because he saw those who loved him and many who spat in his face, who tore apart his clothes, who had beaten him and chose still to die on that cursed tree, that truly into a blessed moment when Jesus paid the price of the sin we have done, so that we may all come to rest as Jesus did. When he was born in a manger, when he died, he rested in that grave for 3 days. And when the women who went to see Jesus' body on the third day, the angel said, he is not here, for he is risen. See, Jesus went back to heaven to prepare a place for us so that we may do as he did at his birth and at his death, to find rest with him from this world. And I pray that the trees we find during Christmas may remind us of all that happened that night Jesus was born. Even though it might not be, even though he might not have been born on Christmas night, we may rest and comfort with the, I hope we may find rest and comfort and joy in the Lord. even to the point in this uneasy time. And as a song I'd like to share up on screen, it says, "Now to the Lord sing praises, O you in this place." Yeah, and if you want, you feel free to sing as well. Thank you.
To men, the nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Woe tidings of comfort and joy, joy,
comfort and joy. Woe
tidings of comfort and joy.
Now to the Lord sing praises.
Sing praises.
Now to the Lord sing praises.
Now to the Lord sing praises.
Now to the Lord sing praises. All you within this place. And with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace.
Only time of Christmas, all others doth deface.
Tidings rejoice in much in mind, and left their flocks a feeding in tempest, storm, and wind.
And
went to Bethlehem straightway the Son of God to find.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Oh, tidings of comfort and
joy.
Now to the Lord sing praises. Now to the Lord sing
comfort and joy.
Now to the Lord sing praises. Now to the Lord sing
comfort and joy.
Comfort and joy.
I'm just going to ask Samantha to join us up here again, along with Rita and any other of our church elders. I can't see from up here yet. No, just Rita representing the rest of the crew. Awesome. All right, come on up. Thank you, Samantha. Here is your baptismal certificate and our discipleship kit to get you started in your journey. And I'd like to move that we would accept Samantha Wheatley as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in St. Andrews. Show by the raising of your hand if you're in approval. Thank you and amen. Rita, I'm going to ask you to come up and give Samantha your hand of fellowship. Give her a warm handshake or a hug. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again for Samantha and ask that you'll continue to keep her and watch over her as she grows, Lord, in you. In times of struggle, Lord, we pray that you will hide her in the shadow of your wings. And in times of victory and joy, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to show your blessings upon her life in ways that she sees and in those ways, Lord, that she won't see until she looks back. Thank you so much for your love. Take us and keep us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, church. We're going to finish our church service now with our hymn, Joy to the World. We're going to take a seat. Grace is going to come and finish, and then Shannon will close us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do, and thank you for your Son Jesus, that who came to the earth and saved us from our sins. And I pray that you bless everyone here on the Merry Christmas they have and wherever they go after this, and those who couldn't make it today due to traveling or whatever they're doing on this Christmas day. In Jesus' name, amen.